The question tonight is this. Would you rather be hot or would you rather be cold? This morning, I'm going to tell you, I was sitting up there and it was hot in this building this morning. And there's a lot of people who are saying, holy cow, it felt amazing. It was great to have that heat on and my fingers weren't cold. I will tell you right now, my fingers are a little cold. So it may not be so hot in here now as it was this morning. But I tell you that sometimes you may say you'd rather be hot or you'd rather be cold. So what I did with the youth the other night is I took a poll. So we're going to take a poll here. If you would rather be hot, raise your hand. Okay? If you would rather be cold, raise your hand. Now, here's what I have. I have some people who say hot, and I have some people who say cold. And then I had some people who shook their head on both. Like Miss Beth. So I'm going to use her as an example. Okay? Miss Beth would rather be like right in the middle, between hot and between cold. Is there anybody like that would rather just be right in the middle? I'm okay hot, but I'm okay cold. It's just like right here. Okay, a bunch of hands going up for right in the middle. You see, there's good times and there's bad times with being hot, and there's good times and bad times about being cold. Tonight, it just kind of goes in my message, but tonight, my wife come in, and she had a coffee cup in her hand. And I was like, what do you got? She goes, my Jennifer made me this. And I said, your Jennifer made you this. And she goes, yeah. She goes, it's hot chocolate and it's awesome. And I was like, oh, okay. She goes, here, try it. I'm like, I don't want to burn my tongue, you know. And she goes, it's not that bad. I take a drink. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Jennifer. I don't know how long it's been in that cup. But it was not hot, okay? And it wasn't cold. It was right in the middle. To me, hot chocolate, it's got to be hot, okay? If it's not hot, then it's chocolate milk. And chocolate milk has to be cold. It can't be hot. That's hot chocolate, okay? So it's got to be either hot or cold. You have to make a choice. It's got to be one or the other. There is a pizza place. I was telling my wife, me and my wife talk about this all the time. There's a pizza place in the St. Louis area. It's called Emo's. And it's little square pieces of pizza covered in a bunch of cheese and meat. And we will get this pizza. And if we go to the restaurant to eat, we will literally have the guy put the pizza on the thing and we will sit there for about 5 minutes. Now, most of you are going, why do you let a hot pizza sit there? It's better the longer it sits on the table. Once it starts to cool off, that cheese isn't like scorching your tongue hot. It's not going to burn the roof of your mouth. It's just going to be just perfect. In fact, my wife makes fun of me because I like to take the pizza after it gets in the refrigerator the next day and just take it and just eat it straight cold because it's so much better. I was talking to Rick on Thursday night, we had pizza from Pizza Hut, and he's like, I cannot stand cold pizza. He doesn't like cold pizza. Some people, they don't like cold pizza as a leftover. You know, you get cold pizza the next day, it's like, ugh, I don't like it. It's got to be hot. And can I get an amen on it's got to be hot pizza? Amen. All right. I got some people who are saying the cold pizza is good with me. It's all right. But it's got to be one way or the other. Tonight, our conversation is about hot or cold. You see, you either have to be hot or cold. And the temperature of the room, the food you eat, either has to be hot or cold. If I was to give you a glass of water and you said, I need a glass of water, and it was cold outside and I gave you hot water, you'd be okay. If it's hot outside and I gave you cold water, you'd be okay. But if I took that room temperature water and just handed it to you, you'd probably go, oh. Your mouth would just go, that's just not what I was expecting. That lukewarm, middle-of-the-road water. You're kind of all going, okay, where's he going with this? He's preaching about food, and he's preaching about the temperature of the room. Where's he going? You see, here's the thing we have to get. we have to either be hot or cold, not only in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. We have to be hot or cold, one of the two. And you might look at me and be like, why do you want to be cold spiritually? Well, let's open up our Bibles. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. It'll be up on the screen for you. And I thank you, Corey, is the only one standing up. That was great. We always stand up, and then the one time we don't stand up, Corey leads us. Hey, that's great. So it says this, Revelation 3, 15 and 16, it says this. It says, I know the things you do, and that you are neither hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for what you're going to bring to us tonight. I ask, God, that you would move me out of the way. God, that you would hide me behind the cross so that I can speak the words that you have for me, God, to speak. And these people would listen and hear the things that you have for them to hear. That we wouldn't leave here the same way we walked in. In your name we pray. Amen. You see, here's the thing. We are not called to be lukewarm. We're not called to be lukewarm Christians. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants you to be one or the other. Sometimes the middle road, right in the middle of the fence, is okay on certain situations. When we're looking at cold tea or hot tea, a little bit of lukewarm tea is okay. It's not bad. But in this situation, spiritually, God does not want you to be lukewarm. Lukewarm is one of those things that's a bad place to be in. Imagine, if you would, this beam here being your middle of the road lukewarm. And if you were standing on this side, on the cold side, you have just one little step till you fall off. And you have this lukewarm middle in here, and then you have the warm side where you have all of these extra steps. It takes it a little bit harder for you to get knocked off of your warm side or your hot side, but you're lukewarm if you fall one way or another. It could really hurt yourself. It could really mess you up if you go on the wrong side, if somebody was to come up and kind of push you over. Sometimes we're really easily pushed over. We can be a pushover really easy on certain situations. You can have a desire or a thought to say, you know what, I don't want to bend on this situation, on this subject, but I'm just going to go ahead and just say whatever, it's not a big deal. And then somebody can just push you over into the cold side. It's really hard, and I'm not going off my notes right now, I'm kind of just speaking, but it's really hard when you have somebody on the cold side trying to bring you back over to the warm side. You see, if there's somebody over here on the cold side of the room, and there's somebody over here on the hot side of the room, you got to find out, are you going to become lukewarm going one way or another? You have to be able to say, I'm going from cold to hot. There's always a point where you go lukewarm for about a second or two. And then you have to decide, what do I do? Am I going hot or am I going cold? So I have a couple of points tonight. The first point is, and these are all ways, how do we become lukewarm? Number one is this. We become lukewarm by playing church. By playing church. A lot of people go to church, and I told this to the students, a lot of people only go to church because a family member tells them they have to go. A lot of them will only come because mom or dad brings them to youth on Wednesday night. Or maybe they're forced to come to church by a friend or a family member. Or maybe you just come to church, like I told the students, maybe you come to church because you want to see that one person at church every week. Or maybe it's a moral obligation. You don't have anything better to do, So you pick to go to church because, well, they closed down the restaurant for a Sunday and I don't have to work today. I guess I could go to church. That'd be all right. That way you're playing church, you're becoming lukewarm. There's a lot of people who say, how do I become lukewarm if I'm playing church? I don't get it. I'm at church all the time. Just because you're in the building doesn't make you saved. Just as if I was to take this book, the Bible right here, and I was to pick it up and I was to say, I got it. That doesn't mean I'm applying what it says. It's just a book until I open it up and apply it to my life. We see that in order for us to not play church, you have to branch out past you and decide that you're going to either go from the cold or the hot. If you're playing church, you're right dab in the middle. It doesn't take much for people to sway you away from going to church on a Sunday morning. You get somebody who calls you and they say, hey, I got tickets to the ball game. All right, I'll go. I don't got nothing else going on. It didn't register in your mind, hey, I got an obligation to, I got church this week. I want to go. I'm not obligated. I want to go to church. You see, right now we're in the middle of what they call deer season. Gun season. I went deer hunting yesterday. And somebody looked at me and they said, are you going tomorrow? And I said, no. I said, I'm going to church. Yeah, but it's the opening weekend. It's the time that everybody goes. And I said, everybody can go, but I'm going to church. I have a family member in my family who I will not name them. But they try to find every excuse to get out of going to church. Oh, my house needs worked on. And I got to do that. I got to work on that. Okay. Well, we're going to have so-and-so over to our house, and they're going to be staying the night. So I'm not going to be able to go. Why don't you take them with you? The house will wait. It's waited this long. It'll wait till next week. You see, when you play church, you miss what God's going to do in church. You miss what God wants to do. And the one thing I told the students the other night is this. You playing church only affects one person. And that's you. You could come and play church all you want. And it's not going to affect me any. I might have an extra two youth kids once a month because of youth kids that decide they're playing church and they just want to show up to show up. But guess what? If they weren't playing church, they'd be there every week. If they weren't playing church, they'd get something out of the service. They'd feel like they had a place to go. They'd feel like they weren't constant or feeling like they weren't, what's the word I'm looking for that I told you earlier? Feel like they weren't stuck in a rut because they're actually participating in the service. They're actually getting into the service and they're not just sitting and just waiting for it to be over, waiting an hour and crossing their arms and saying, is this over yet? But they're getting something out of it. Playing church. When you play church, your life is affected by it. Number two is this. Not reading the Bible. How do you become lukewarm? Number one, it's by playing church. Number two is by not reading the Bible. I had told the students a couple of weeks ago, I had a 21-day Bible reading. It was a devotion and it was Bible reading. And I posted it on Facebook. And every day I would post my reading plan and I would have them read the devotion and then they would read the scriptures and kind of give them a chance to get into the scripture. I said, nobody probably understands this, but why did I pick 21 days? You know, it takes 21 days to start a habit. So if I can get them to start a 21-day plan, and they can read every single day, and if they did it every single day, then hopefully by the 22nd day, they weren't looking for me to post it. They were going and researching something for themselves. Hopefully they were able to open up the Word and get something out of it, even though the devotion wasn't there, because now they've opened their Bible every day. I challenge the students every week, bring your Bible with you. It's okay to have it on your phone, but you know how much more important it is to have it here? Because I'm going to tell you, and I tell the students this, when I open up my phone and I look on the front page, you can tell what I've done on my phone, because my first four favorite things are down at the bottom of my phone. It's Facebook or Snapchat or something else more important. You'll find out where the most important thing is just by looking on the phone. Just because the app is on your phone doesn't mean you're using it. And I told them, I encouraged them, I said, you know what? I said, bring your Bible with you. Because how easy is it to walk into the house of God and have a Bible in your hand? It's pretty easy. It's pretty simple stuff. You go to church, you grab your Bible. This is pastor's part of it. I grew up in the older school where you always took your Bible to church. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they took their Bible and they took notes every single time. You had those folks who opened up their Bible and they were going through it, and just, they had notepads and notepads of scriptures and sermons and stuff that they were going home and reading back again. I look at the teenagers now, and what do they have? They have a phone full of a whole bunch of other things. And nobody's taking notes anymore. Am I saying anything bad about it? No, I understand. We've gone from a different time, a different generation. But what would happen if all of a sudden we started having teenagers bring their Bible every week? And we started having 26 students with 26 Bibles. And everybody was opening them up and looking at them and reading them. I told them this. I said, you can't take your Bible to school where it's hard if you can't bring it into the youth group where it's easy to bring it. If you don't bring it to church on Sunday, you can't take it to work with you on Monday or Wednesday or Friday. You can't, I'm going to just tell you right now, if it's not here with you, you're probably not taking it with you to look at your lunchtime at work. It's probably not something that you're opening up all the time if it's not with you wherever you go. I talked with one of the students and he says, well, it's in my car. Okay. I said, is it always in your car? Yeah, it's always there. So it's never out of your car? No, it's always in my car. Then that means that it's not being opened at home. It means it's not being opened when you're here at youth. It's not being open during the day anytime. I tell them all the time that this is a tool that God gave you. This tool is here to, it's here to show you discipline. It's here to show you compassion. It's here to encourage you. It's here to walk you through hard times in your life. So a question is this. If you're not taking this with you, how do you know what to do when you need a pick-me-up? When you're looking and you're saying, God, how do I do this? I don't understand how to pray. God, it just feels like everything I'm saying is just hitting the wall and coming back. And he looks at you and says, I gave you the instruction manual, but you're not using it. I was telling Furman this morning, he had walked in and he said, man, it's cold in this room. I said, yeah. I said, I tried to mess with that thermostat. I said, I just gave up. I said, it's made no sense to me. I said, I wish there was an instructions right there. and to tell me how to turn that thing on and get it running. And he goes, oh, it was all set wrong. I said, well, whoever set it, I said, I didn't touch it. I looked at it and gave up. I said, but an instruction manual would have been nice. The instruction manual for your day is right here. And if you're not taking it with you, then you're not going to know what to do. We encourage the students all the time, bring your Bible to church. Last week we had 26 students, and I think we had like 5 Bibles. You all go, wow, that's not a lot. I say, wow, that's a lot, seeing as how the first 2 weeks I had 2 Bibles. So 5 to me is I'm getting there. We're getting there. We're going to keep saying it. Bring your Bible, bring your Bible, bring your Bible. Because eventually it's going to be, I have a bunch of Bibles and I have a bunch of kids looking in those Bibles. One thing I told them is I said, you cannot not read your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible and you're coming to church, you're still right there at lukewarm. You might be a little bit over room temperature, but if you're not reading your word every day, then you're going to have that time where you feel like you're completely cold. You may be hot on Sunday morning and hot on Sunday night, but Tuesday comes and you just feel low and down, and you're trying to get to Wednesday and you're kind of crutching it along trying to get there. By the time you get to Wednesday, you're right at lukewarm again because you've gotten cold from Monday to Tuesday. This here is what gets you through to Wednesday night. This here is what gets you from Wednesday to Sunday. Pastor said it before. It's not about being here. It's not about having to be here at the church in the building. You have to put effort into it. It takes a little bit of time. So I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm encouraging you, if you don't read your Bible, 5 minutes. What's 5 minutes of your day? I'm going to tell you the coolest part about TV is commercials. How many people love to watch commercials? One. A whole one out of everybody. One person likes to watch commercials. If you're watching a TV show and a commercial comes on, which is about every 4.5 minutes, there's about 2.5 to 3 minutes of commercial time. Wouldn't it be awesome if you miss about the first 2.5 minutes of your show again because you started picking up your Bible in the middle of your commercial? You started reading it a little bit? Or maybe you sit down and you always have that one morning cup of coffee and you're kind of just sitting there relaxing, getting ready for your day. What would happen if you opened it up and got into the Word just for about 5 minutes during that morning cup of coffee? You would change a lot about you by opening up your Word. And I know this isn't a great cheer-me-up message. My amen corner is really quiet. But you know what? You have to bring your Bible to church. You have to use it every day. Because like I said earlier, if it's not here with you now, it's not going to be with you at work. It's not going to be with you when you go to a family member's house and they're struggling with something and you're trying to figure out what verse you have to look up. You have to bring your Bible. Number 3 is this. There's no relationship. I tell the students all the time, it has nothing to do. This whole thing, this whole God thing has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with a relationship with God. A relationship. Pastor just asked for you to stand up for acknowledging that you support us going into our next level of ministry, our next credentialing ministry. As much as I'm excited about that, I will tell you it has nothing to do with a denomination. It's all about one thing, and that is your relationship with God. all religion is man's way to get to God. It won't work. It doesn't do anything. It's that real relationship you have with Him. If I was to not have a relationship with my wife, I could almost guarantee that she would not want to talk to me every day. That she would be mad about not talking to me. That she might start getting a little jealous because I'm spending more time doing other things than communicating and talking to her. God's the same way. He gets jealous when you don't talk to Him. You know how I know? Because the Word says that if you don't talk to Him, then the rock will talk to Him. That's my translation of what He says. You don't worship Me, the rocks are going to worship Me. So if you're not talking to God, then the rock will talk to God, because guess what? He desires your relationship. The relationship that you have with Him is completely different than the person next to you. That's why I like to listen. Sometimes I like to listen to people who talk about what God's done for them. I like to sit and watch people pray sometimes, because some people have a different relationship with God than everybody else. Some people, they like to lay on the floor. Some people, they're really loud talkers. You don't have to be a loud talker, and you don't have to be a quiet talker or just real into yourself to have a deep relationship with God. The best part about it is this: your relationship is unique, because it's between you and God. Your story is completely different than my story. If you were to say, "Pastor Brian, we don't really know a whole lot about your background. We don't know a lot about your history." I will tell you this. I was raised in a church. My parents were divorced when I was a kid. And I went to two different churches and two different youth groups. I struggled the entire time finding out that it was about a relationship. And I never had that real, actual relationship until one day I said, "God, I don't want to do church like I do church. I don't want to go from one group to the next. I want something different." And that's when I found out and realized that it was not about going to church. It wasn't about doing a church game. It wasn't about just reading my Bible. It had to be a relationship with Him. You see, we could play church and be lukewarm. We could not read our Bible and be lukewarm. And we could just barely have a conversation or barely a relationship with God and be lukewarm. It's about a relationship. You have to have the relationship with God in order to not be lukewarm. If you're playing relationship with God, you're guaranteed to be lukewarm. It's about a relationship. You see, God's not going to leave you because you decided that you weren't going to have a relationship with Him. But as soon as you come back, as soon as you get to the point where you say, "God, I know it's about a relationship and it's not about religion," it's the point when He looks at you and He says, "Now we'll be able to do what we want to do. Now I can speak to you." Because before, it was about you speaking. If all we do is just pray, "God, I need, and we walk away, He's looking at you saying, "Why haven't you given Me a chance to speak to you?" He has the answer. But it's the relationship between you and Him, to where you allow God to say what He wants to say to you. A relationship with Him. Jeremiah 29:11, I think it's up on the board. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." Isn't it awesome that God already knows the plans? And He's chosen you, and you have chosen Him. If you're in relationship with somebody and somebody says, "You know what, I got an idea. I got a plan. I got something I want to do," you kind of get pretty excited about it. I was telling the students, I said, and I started pointing out a couple of things. I said, boys, I said, let me tell you. I said, if you're in a relationship with a girl and you don't treat her nice, you won't be in that relationship for very long. If you don't talk to her, you won't be in a relationship very long. Started picking on some of the boyfriends that were in there, kind of like shaking their head. And I said, girls, I said, listen. I said, it's the same for you. You have to do stuff for them too. They don't want to feel like it's a one-way street. You see, here's the thing with the relationship. If you have a relationship with God, it's not all about give me, give me, give me, give me. It's about, God, I want to give you my worship. And then God will look at you and say, I want to bless you with this. Let me bless you with something. As you're worshiping me and you're seeking after me, let me show you what the plan is I have for you. I told the guys the other night, I said, if we have a relationship with a girl and she was to look at us at the restaurant and say, I want to pay for dinner, we'd probably be really excited. I said, when my wife looks at me and she pulls out the debit card and she goes to hand it to the lady at the register because she's paying, I get excited about that. I kind of wait a minute and I realize that it's coming out of the same account. It's really my money anyway. But to me, it's exciting. She's back there looking at me like, it ain't your money. It's mine. To me, I kind of get excited. Pastor kind of said the same thing just a second ago. He's like, amen. Miss Beth's going, no way. She's like, I ain't paying. You're paying, Buster. That's how it's working. But you see here, if I buy my wife something nice, she likes it. It excites her. If she goes and she gets something for me, she picks up the tab. I'm like, all right. I told this story. I said, you know, we have times where we'll go out somewhere and she'll go to the gas station and we're getting stuff at the gas station and I'm standing back here looking at something and she's getting all this stuff and I got my one little puny looking candy bar about this big and she gets this bunch of things and I say, I'm sitting there watching and all of a sudden this lady says, that'll be $7.64. As soon as I said that, started looking around. She's doing this. She goes, pay the lady. And she just walks away. I'm like, great. I still got to pay. I'm only getting this little bitty thing, and I still got to pay. It could come out of the same place. If she paid for it, I'm just like, oh. It's about, that relationship is about giving and taking sometimes. It's about allowing God to speak to you. And you speaking to him. It doesn't always have to be, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. Because I'm telling you right now, you parents who have teenagers, you know, when your kid says, give me, give me, give me, give me, you're going, get it, get it, get a job. Amen. Get out there and go do something. I'm tired of giving you money all the time. Amen. Come on, that could be a louder amen. There's a lot of parents in here right now. There's some grandparents over here that are laughing. Because they're like, uh-oh, I was at the Walmart. I'm going to pick on you now. I was at Walmart last week, and I was getting some stuff for deer season. And I look, and here's Mary and Courtney walking through Walmart. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there talking to Mary, and Courtney disappears. And she comes back with a candy bar and some gum, and Mary's got just this one little thing in her hand. Courtney's got this stuff. She sets it on the counter. Grandma goes to pay. I don't even know if Grandma realized she bought it at this point. But she's just like, oh, okay, there you go. And I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm going, all I got is this stuff for deer season. I'm looking at Mary going, here, Grandma. Because all Courtney did, she didn't even say anything. It wasn't like, I'm going to go, Grandma, is it okay? She just grabs his stuff and puts it on the thing. Grandma goes, but there's because there's a relationship there. And then after we get outside, guess what? Then Courtney gets to drive Grandma's car. I guess she got paid for chauffeuring Grandma. That's what it was. She got candy and gum for chauffeuring. But you know what? It's the relationship. We laugh, but sometimes we think you have a better relationship with the people around us than we do with God. I told the students this the other night. I said, guys, I said, if that guy that, and I was talking to the girls, I said, if that guy is bringing you down from being the Christian you're supposed to be, he's not going to bring you up. You're never going to be able to pull him up. So you have to, one, decide this. Either he goes or you become lukewarm. It is so difficult for a Christian to get somebody who is not a Christian and convert them to being a Christian. But how easy is it for them to pull you down? All of a sudden, you start missing church. All of a sudden, you start putting yourself in positions that you don't need to be in. Situations that you probably shouldn't be in. Oh, well, you know, they said it was okay for us to go hang out at their house when their parents weren't home. No, it's not okay. And if you were doing what you were supposed to do and you were not dating somebody who's not a Christian, you would know better than that. Get it, Gunner. Get it. It's over here. And every time Anna says something, he says it again. Right. But you see, here's the thing. With our relationships, we have to have the same relationship with others as we have with God. So it's about having that relationship with God. So, the last point, and I know you're probably going to say the same thing these guys looked at me last week. I said there's only 3 points, and I'm giving you the last point. I've already gone through 3. The last thing is this. How do you become lukewarm? We just went through it. You must not be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. So how do you become lukewarm? Number one, it's by playing church. Number two, it's by, Michael, you remember? I'm going to get him. You're gonna have these down in your head. It's about not reading your Bible. You will be lukewarm if you don't read your Bible. And number three is relationship with God. So if not reading your Bible and playing church and not having a good relationship with God makes you lukewarm, how do you become hot? You ready? You come to church. You read your Bible. And you have a real relationship with God. Now, what I told them was this. You come to church. You read your Bible. And you have a relationship with Him is great. But what you need to do is this. You need to, one, read your Bible. Two, you need to have a real relationship with God. And three, when you come to church, you have to have an expectation to see God move. It's all about expecting God to do something. Because guess what? He's expecting you to do something by doing your part and not play church. So if He's expecting you to not play church, then you should expect for Him to move in the service. The last 3 weeks, this is when it gets fun for me. The last 3 weeks, we have had some awesome services. Pastor did come to me and he told me, you're going to, if I was not prefacing this with the before, you will be mad when I tell you that something's got to change. You guys are going longer in service. And I looked at him the other night after I processed what he said, and I said, I'm glad you said that. And he said, why? I said, because I would have got mad. I'd have looked at you and said, are you crazy? The Spirit is moving, and we're having to stop it right now. I told him, I said, I don't get it. And he looked at me and he said, that's why I preface it by saying, it's a good problem to have, but we have to figure out what do we do next. We do have students that ride the bus, so we need to make sure we get them out on a good time. We do have parents standing outside and grandparents standing outside. We need to make sure they're not standing outside. Now, he did say this. For some reason, I got like 5 new youth worker applications this week. I don't know what's going on. We're probably going to have more because they're coming out of your class into mine. But I will say this. They're beginning to understand that they have to come expecting to see God move. I'm going to pick on her again. Amen. For the last couple of weeks, Courtney's been coming. And when I first talked to Mary, she goes, yeah, Courtney's coming. She's really excited about coming. And I said, oh, okay. I'm in Louisiana. Mary gets a phone call. I'm going to go sing. I'm going to sing on the worship team with Anna. And it's Courtney on the phone. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know Courtney sang, but okay. She gets done and she goes, it was great. The service was awesome. And this happened and this happened and this happened. She goes, I'm so excited. I'm on the worship team and I get to do this and I get to do that. And I looked at Anna and I said, so how was worship? And she goes, it was really good. I said, oh, good. I said, well, you know, I'm glad you guys had a good service and everything was great. I got to church the next week and was able to speak, and I got ready to go speak and worship just blew up and kids just started going everywhere. And then I realized that the students that were leading worship came expecting to see God do something. Got Courtney on stage singing, and she's like raising her hands and getting excited about worship because she came expecting God to do something that night. And the worship team got it. And when the worship team got it, then everybody else started getting it. And so you know what happened? I didn't even get to preach that week. I didn't get to preach because it started with the worship team. A couple weeks ago, we had that up here. The worship team got it, and all of a sudden, it just blew up. The question is this. If we're coming expecting to see God, we should see God. So how do we come with an expectation to see God move? You read your Bible. And you have a relationship. And you have an expectation to see God move. I was telling another student after service, I said, guess what? I said, everything you do in life requires you to read your Bible, have an expectation, and have a relationship with God. I said, if you're dealing with cigarettes, reading your Bible, a relationship with God, and the expectation to have Him remove it from your life, it'll happen. If you're dealing with cutting, a relationship with God, reading your Bible, and expecting Him to take care of it, it'll happen. Everything we do in youth ministry from here on, I am going to use those 3 things. You have to read your Bible, you have to come expecting, and you have to have a relationship. I could preach 1,700 messages and use the same 3 points every week. And if we applied them and physically and actually applied them, our church and our youth and our kids would be completely different. Because we've decided to take a simple little step and say, if God will move, which He will, I want to see it. You came expecting. You were read up. You were ready to go. And you had a relationship with Him. And then all of a sudden, it just went crazy. I'm going to tell you right now. In them old days, back in the back days, where Pastor was at, and I was a kid, he still hates that. He hates the fact that when he tells me dates, I'm like, yeah, I was 4. He told me a date one day. I was like, I wasn't even born. He's like, shut up. He goes, it's not funny. I was like, I can't help that you're old. That's how it is. He picks on Beth, so I get to pick on him. I got your back. I got your back. I know, Marilyn's up here going, if you're old, I'm ancient. But here's the thing. Back in those days, we used to go to church on Sunday night. It would start at 6 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, the kids were asleep and the parents were still having church. Why is that? Because they brought their Bibles every week, which means they were reading their Bible every week. They had a relationship with God that was more than just coming in on Sunday and leaving and going back again the next week. They had a relationship. And they came every week expecting God to do something. Now you could look and you say, yeah, well, that was for them back then. No. The God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means what they had back then, they could still have today. Which is why when we say we have to have a relationship with God, it means not just holding on to, that's what they had back then, I can't ever have that. You have to have that relationship. You have to read your Bible. You have to come expecting to see God do something. I want to challenge you tonight. You're either hot or you're cold. The Bible says, and we read it a second ago, if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Just like what you would do with lukewarm water. It's like, oh man, that's terrible. He gives you two options. You can either be hot or you can be cold. He'd rather you be one or the other. If you'd rather be cold, then guess what? Be cold. Who does it affect? It affects you. If you want to be lukewarm, he's going to spit you out. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. But if you want to be hot, guess who it affects? It affects every person around you. Everybody will be affected by you being hot. The only person it affects when you're cold is you. I was watching Wednesday night. I love it when you're here. I'm just telling you right now. I get to pick on Courtney. But Wednesday night, I was praying. And I had students. I had told them, I said, if you want to be hot and you're tired of being lukewarm and you're tired of playing church and you need to read your word and you need that relationship, not just religion, but a relationship. I said, I want you to come up here. And I had an altar full of students. And I started praying with students. And I got to Courtney. And she's just going and she's praying. And I walk up to her and I'm praying with her. And all of a sudden, she starts speaking in tongues. And her speaking in tongues got me speaking louder. And then her getting louder got me going louder. And then people around us are starting to speak in tongues. And it just blew up. What happens when Anna and Ann start going off and start saying their amen, amen, and people start getting it and clapping? What happens to the preacher? The preacher starts getting a little bit more excited, right? And that's when he starts doing that. One little bitty spark will light up an entire field if it's ready to go. What would happen if every time we were here, all of a sudden, that person was ready, and that person was ready, and that person was ready, and that person was ready? This room could look like the youth room. It would take a lot of work because I made that look really nice over there. And I'm telling you right now, if he looks at me and says, you guys get the youth room, I'm going to be like, I'm just going to go ahead and just pass because my room looks great. And Angela is over there going, thanks for preening it up for us. She told me that when he said that. She goes, you're just getting it ready for us. And I'm like, no. Once I get it done, I ain't leaving. But here's the thing. If I don't fit, I'll go to two services on Wednesday night. Hannah's going, no. But here's the thing. I told them, I said this. I said, 26 students, to me is awesome. I'm like, this is awesome. I got 26 students. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather have five that were completely on fire and I could do things in the service and we could talk about the word and we could speak the word and we could come exciting and we could do things together that would get us more built up than to have 26 that just sat there like a bump on a log and just... I would rather five hot ones than 26 lukewarm. Maybe even if they were cold, I could get them to hot. But it's that teetering on the fence thing. Too many times as Christians, we sit on the fence on a lot of situations. We start looking at real situations. We start looking at our stand on abortion. Well, it's okay if it's this. No, the word abortion means something that we don't stand for. You know what? I understand. I get it. There's a lot of people that don't agree the same way we do. But why should I have to bend what I believe to make somebody else happy? If I have to bend what I believe to make somebody else happy, then guess what? I'm going lukewarm again. Homosexuality, another one that just, oh, it's okay. No, it's not. The Bible talks about it. You have to be one way. That's it. If you're falling down to one side or another, you're going to lukewarm. It's not going to do you any good. The Bible says, and what we read, hot or cold, don't be lukewarm. Hot or cold. If you're deciding that you're going to teeter back to cold and be lukewarm, you may as well just go there. Because that's really where you want to be anyway. Because if you decided you wanted to be hot, you would stay hot.
That's right. Come on now.
I will tell you, if you're cooking something and it's supposed to be hot, you will do whatever you can do to keep it hot.
Right.
If that means putting it on, keep warm in the slow cooker. And guess what? It got to stay hot. It can't go cold. If it goes cold, it's bad. It's terrible. It's got to stay hot. That lukewarm taste is, it's got to stay hot. We have to get to a point where we realize that everything we do, we have to be hot. If we're hot in our Bible reading, and we're hot in our real relationship with God, and we're hot with our expectation to see God move, then when we get in here, it's not just going to be hot in the service. The Spirit is going to move, which allows things to get hot in the Spirit, and then everything will go crazy and blow up. We always try to figure out what happens at youth camp. Why is it the first night is like trying to start a locomotive? Why is it so hard to get it moving the first night? The second night, it makes it a little bit easier. And by the night we get ready to leave, it just goes nuts. What happened? We get a whole bunch of kids who are ready to see God do something, but they don't know yet. And then the last night, it's like, I'm ready to see God move. And then all of a sudden it goes, poof. I told them, I said, what would happen if this youth group decided that we're tired of waiting until camp for God to move? What would happen if we decided that when we go to Winterfest, and everybody else is waiting until the third day of Winterfest, the last morning to do something, we bring the word with us, we bring the expectation with us, we bring the relationship with us, and they're looking and going, something's going on at that church over there. Something's going on there. They want to come in here and find out. I sent a message to one of my buddies, and he goes, how's it going over there? And I said, well, we've got 26. I'm not worried about that number. He's like, man, that's awesome, 26. I said, I don't care about the number. My job's not to worry about that number. If it gets really low, I might have to worry about that number. But I will say this. If I got a bunch of kids who are on fire, that 26 isn't going to be 26 for long. That 26 is going to become 30. And that 30 is going to be 35. And then I'm going to have to do what I told my interns the other day what I was going to have to do, which was take all the chairs out of the building because I'm not going to have enough room with all the chairs and all the people. I'm going to have to sit them on the floor. And guess what? I would rather put them on the floor over there and bring them over here and pack this building out too. If I got to, I'm just putting it out there. If I got to, pastor's already told me, I could go to a different night. I could move to a different night to where we can go a little bit longer. But guess what? There's only two nights that I think we could go to where we can have really as much time as we want. Friday and Saturday, right? What would happen if Friday night the football game was canceled because there's no teenagers to play? What would happen if Friday night I had to call the school and say, I know all your football players are at church. Can I just use the football field after service is over? Can I just use the football field after the game's over because they're all there anyway? We'll just have church right after the football game. Or maybe it's one of those where they just say, you know what? There's something going on over there at Souls Harbor at their youth group. We got to stop having our kids here on Wednesday nights doing sports activities because they need to go to church. When I told the students one thing when I first got here, and I'm going to close with this. I told them one thing when I first got here. I said, I am all for activities and sports. I'm all for it. I'm great. If you want to be in an activity, awesome. If you want to be in after school something, if you want to be in band, if you want to be in basketball or cheerleading or whatever you want to be in, I'm perfectly fine by that. When it starts to affect you going to church is when I have an issue with it. Why? Because it's affecting you spiritually at that point. Because at the point now where we get, that's when it affects, are you hot or cold? Because you can't be hot missing church on Sunday or missing church on Wednesday. You can't be hot coming just because you want to be on the worship team. Coming to church just to be on the worship team, it's not doing you any good. Coming to church just so you could see a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a family member, it's not doing you any good. You have to have that relationship. So when I told them that the sports activities are great, but I want them to be here for a reason besides just showing up, I looked at him and I said, if you come expecting to see God do something, he'll do it. Our schools right now, they are scheduling so much stuff that it's hard for us as youth pastors and pastors to get to a place where we know what they're doing. Each sport changes. All of a sudden, they have practices on Wednesday night going until 6 o'clock. They have stuff, events scheduled every day of the week. What would happen if all of a sudden we decided as not only students and pastors and youth pastors, but as parents, that we looked at him when he said, I understand that you have this activity, but your relationship with God is more important than that activity. And all of a sudden we started saying, no, we're not going to send you to that activity on Wednesday night because you got to go to church. They might bucket a couple minutes for a little bit until the Bible reading starts, until the real relationship starts, until they start getting expecting to see God come and move. And then all of a sudden it's, Mom, I have to miss practice because I'm going to church. Mom, I can't go to the bonfire over there tonight. We're having something at church tonight. Grandma, can you take me over to the church? We got this going on tonight. I'm going to tell you, when they start getting excited about it and expecting to see God move, when they start bugging you for rides to get to church, don't kill it. Don't kill it because they're excited. oh, I got so much other stuff going on. Well, it sounds to me like we got a couple of parents, if they have that issue, that are looking and saying, I'm not reading my Bible like my teenager is. I'm not going to church like my teenager is, expecting to see God happen, move, something go on. Maybe I don't have that relationship that I'm supposed to have. Pastor's already said, he said, there's something going on over there. I'll tell you what's going on over there. You ready? We've got a bunch of teenagers coming to church on Wednesday night expecting to see God do something. And I will apologize to a certain extent about the time length, but I'm not going to turn God away because of a time schedule. So I will say it now, and I will tell all the other parents if I have to. If you have to come and get your student, I can't stop you. If I have to send the bus kids out, I will have to send them out. But how cool would it be if all of a sudden we looked up and we said, something's going on over there in the youth room. I got to go get my kid. And you walk in, and you don't leave for another 25, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, because God got a hold of you because you were expecting to see God do something, and you walked into the room and went, whoa. They're not just over here having fun. They're over here experiencing God. I say it to them every week. I'm going to say it from now on. A real relationship with God, along with Bible reading, an expectation to see God move, will change the way that this youth group is known for. It will change our very existence within the church, within the community, within the state. It will change everything. You have to decide tonight. And I told the students this the other night. Adults, you have to decide tonight. Are you hot or cold? If you're lukewarm, you can't be in that place. You have to decide one way or another, hot or cold. It's a decision that you have to figure out for yourself. I can't look at you and say, okay, you're cold, you're hot, you're hot, you're cold, you're right in the middle. You have to decide for yourself. Let me say this. If you're hot, you can always be hotter. If you're cold, you don't want to be colder. The only person that cold affects is you. But the person who's affected by you being hot is all the people around you. You don't believe me? Watch. When summer comes, because it's going to come back, when you start to get hot, you want to do something to cool off. You get a fan. You get the air conditioner. You roll the windows down in the car. Oh, I'm still cold. Don't care. I'm hot. I want to get cooled off. I'm hot. I want to get some air moving in here. I'm hot. God says, be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. I'm going to really quickly, we're going to pray, and then we're going to give it back to Pastor. If everybody would bow your heads, I'm going to ask this question. Simple question. I'm not picking sides here. All I'm doing is saying this. If you're cold tonight and you say, I don't want to be cold anymore. I want to be hot. In just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. If you look at me and you say, I'm lukewarm. I'm right in the middle. I got to get away from it. In just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. And if you say, I'm hot, and I want to continue to be hot, I want to have an expectation to see God move, I want to experience that real relationship with Him every day, I need to read my Bible more, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. Which is pretty funny because I gave you one, two, three things, and everybody's going to fall within that situation. Which means that in seconds, when I ask you to raise your hand, I should see a hand for every single person in here. Why did I have you raise your hand? Because I need you to realize it too. Why did I ask you to bow your head? because not everybody needs to know that you raised your hand too. This is about you. It's not about everybody else. It's about you. So if that's you, if you're cold and you don't want to be cold anymore, if you're lukewarm and you're tired of being lukewarm, and if you're hot and you want to be hotter, all I want you to do is just raise your hand. That's me. Say, yep, that's me. You're in one of the three places. I want to be hotter, I want to get out of lukewarm, or I'm cold. I don't know which one it is. I have no clue. You guys can put your hands down. Tonight I'm going to do a simple prayer, and this is what it's going to be. I'm going to ask you to pray in your own way. If you're cold, ask God to help warm you up past the lukewarm stage. If you're lukewarm, ask God to help you, to keep you from going back to lukewarm. And ask Him to help you to be hot. And if you're hot, ask Him to keep you burning hot. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word that you gave me. God, I pray for every single person in this room right now. I pray for the people who are listening by podcast. God, I pray right now that we would know, number one, that we have a real relationship with you. God, I pray that we would read our Bible every day. If we don't do it now, God, I pray that we would do it now more than we've ever done. Even if it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes from zero is a start. If we already read 20 minutes, God, give us the desire to read more. And God, I pray for an expectation. I pray that we would expect to see you move in every service, in every situation. And no matter what we do, that we would expect to see you move. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the people who came tonight. I pray, God, that as we leave this place, that your hand of protection would be on us. That we would leave here differently than the way that we came in. God, I pray that at the next time that we are here, that us who are hot would remain hotter. Us who are cold would become warm and hot. And us who are lukewarm would become hot. And we would expect to see you move. And we would see you move in a mighty way. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen.